You are listening to AFL Tonight, presented by ArenaFan.com, celebrating 10 years as the complete arena football resource. Welcome to AFL Tonight. I am your host, Tim Capper. Who would have thought, hey, you know, we got a week 10. It's halfway through the 2007 season, the season of Bon Jovi, the season of Elway, the season of changes. And what changes they are. Yeah. Needless to say, it has been a very interesting season. We have some teams that we expected to be a little bit better this time that we thought. Also some very interesting, you know, things that have come about since the season began. Some records already set. We're already halfway through. Some interesting, you know, we have a couple of quarterbacks who've joined a new club and more to come. But we'll get to that real quickly, just as a quick reminder. We will also be going over the AFL Tonight Game of the Week. Also, we're going to be going over the Human versus 8-Ball Pick'em. Woo! Tell you, us humans are getting a leg up on that damn ball, if you know what I'm saying. Also, we're going to be going over once again. We're a week behind, but we're going to go ahead and go over the last 2 weeks when it comes to the scoring overall for this year, comparing, you know, new season versus the old season, or new rules, whatever you want to call it. But we'll get to that real quickly, too. And just all in all, have a great time here. Before we do start, though, I want to go ahead and point out that we at Arena Fan have created a Facebook group for you, members of ArenaFan.com, or anybody who may want to join. If you do have a Facebook account, just do a search for ArenaFan or ArenaFan.com and just join up, and you know the names, you know the aliases online, get to know the faces. That's over at the ArenaFan.com Facebook group. Well, before we get to some of the other stuff we mentioned before, first thing, we do want to go ahead and to congratulate Dan Alexander, who has broken quite a long-standing record in the AFL. And I don't think anybody in particular thought that it was going to be possible for this type of record to be broken. But it may have, you know, become the new AFL, maybe because of the free substitution, etc. But he was able to break in only 9 weeks, was able to break the all-time record for rushing touchdowns in a season. And first thing we want to do is we want to clarify. I know a couple weeks ago that I had mentioned that the record was standing at 30. When actually, in essence, due to information that came to our attention, it was only 26 for Bernard Hall. And it's interesting how we found this out. Through 2002, the league happened to have the record in the AFL media guide and record book listed at 30 touchdowns. Bernard Hall being part of the St. Louis Stampede back in 1996 when he set the original record. That wasn't to be. Whether it was when the AFL finally got off their high horses and decided, you know what, we better verify all records that we have. Or let's just screw with everybody just to see what everybody thinks. You know, because rules, records that we've seen, they've been shown as one thing. They seem to probably pop up as another once they've been broken. But anyways, if the AFL's gotten their stuff together, I'll applaud them. You know, good for them. But come on. they're not gonna, obviously they're not going to promote this type of stuff, but either way, we have corrected the information on ArenaFan. We have gone through the stats, and we are in the works to making major corrections and going over all the stuff that we can to make sure that you have the most up-to-date and accurate site there is on the internet. Either way, congratulations, Dan Alexander. Last week he breaks a record with 3 rushing touchdowns, if I'm not mistaken. Overall, either way, he has scored 27 in 9 games. That is a disgusting amount of touchdowns. excuse me. That's crazy. You know, with a season high in week 3 of 5 rushing touchdowns. Of 6 rushing touchdowns just in week 8 alone. Versus the Kansas City Brigade, he is on a pace to just, you know, if you think about it, to shatter it. He'd easily, if he keeps his pace up, he could easily get 50 rushing touchdowns this season. That's an incredible amount of touchdowns, especially in the AFL, and when it's not considered a rushing league. Maybe the changes that have made it partially a rushing league, and especially the Nashville Cats, and with their front line, are able to go ahead and allow him to break the goal line and score the touchdown. So, but either way, applauding. We at AFL Tonight are applauding Dan Alexander for breaking a record that have been in existence for 11 years, since 1996. Congratulations on becoming the AFL's all-time leading rushing touchdown leader for most touchdowns rushing in a season. That's a mouthful, I tell you. wow. Also, something that happened before last Monday's game on ESPN, and it came over the wires that Coach Hohensee had been it first came out as a car accident or hurt in a car accident. I tell you, this man, I was able, lucky enough to meet him when he was the head coach for the Albany Firebirds. But Coach Ho seems to be one tough mother, I tell you. The final story ended up being that he ended up getting hit by a car while walking through a parking lot, a grocery store parking lot, in the Chicago area. If anybody happened to watch the game on Monday night, you could see, first he didn't even admit it, he's in pain, he's taking medication for this, but neck brace, arm in a sling, but sure enough, in that same hand, you have, the playbook. And it was, I know a lot of prayers went out to him, to Coach Hohensee, to make sure that he does recover fully. I would say, and it's not misleading in any way, I hope it, I'm hoping that he's able to get rid of the pain, without continuing with the medication. Hopefully the pain will go and subside very, very shortly and allow him to continue his wonderful career. And I mean, look at the team. You know, Chicago Rush alone, just, you know, they, with their win on Monday night, great, great segue, guys. Who writes this stuff? Chicago has tied with their win on Monday the second longest winning streak for defending champion, which is 7 straight games won. Their leader is actually 8 games for Tampa Bay in 1996. It was a total of 8 games. So, this is a totally different team than last year. Chicago is a leading contender. They are looking like a defending champion. But it's some very, some big surprises, and it's one thing that we brought up in this week's poll here on ArenaFan.com. If you haven't voted, you can do so immediately by heading over to the front page. Our question basically is, what is the biggest surprise the first half of 2007? And all the choices are will be there in front of you. Tampa Bay is one of them, especially them being at broadcast time, 2-6. The Chicago Rush having a great record, they are. Utah being at at 5-4. Georgia being doing as well as they are. Or if you want to choose another team, you can go ahead and do just that, because obviously we didn't want to put every single possibility that there may have been, but if you have a particular team that you want to go ahead and nominate, let us know about it here at Arena Fan or at AFL Tonight. You can go ahead and contact us. You know how. I'm sure you've done it before, or at least you've thought about it. You've been to that page. Go to the Contact Us section over on the Arena Fan tab on the menu and click down to Contact Us and send me over an email or send an email to tim.capper at arenafan.com. Week 10, I mean, just, you know, we are this close to, you know, coming to the home stretch, going to be deciding who's going to be heading to the Big Easy and Arena Bowl 21. So needless to say, we got a great bunch of weeks coming up, and this should be very, very exciting.
ArenaFan.com, celebrating 10 years as the Internet's complete arena football resource.
I tell you, it is just chock-a-block full of... did I say chock-a-block? Chock full of new records that have been broken or added. Just a couple weeks ago, we had Clint Dozell be the first quarterback in AFL history to get into the 800 touchdown club. And just recently, last week, we had Andy Kelly back from a stint on the injured list. He himself was able to pass the 800 touchdown plateau passing in his career. Next one, finally, we have Jeff Garcia, wrong league. I have totally lost my mind. Aaron Garcia. Good Lord. Aaron Garcia is finally back for the Dragons, and he played very, very well last week. So he's well on his way on hopefully reaching, getting to those milestones also. I think he was just a shy short of 700 for his career. But he is his back, and you know, it looked like the Dragons are playing a lot better because of his return. And obviously, it's something that Dragon fans are fantastic and happy to see. But you know, hey, kudos to him. Welcome back, and may have a good rest of the season. Interesting information came over the wire just recently before we went to air. And it's something that I never ever thought would occur. Obviously, the NFL has the ability with all the flex scheduling to go ahead and make any changes deemed necessary to their schedule to get the best matchup possible that's on television. Well, rumor was it that there was going to be a change in the schedule for week 11, if I'm not mistaken. Double check here real quick. Yeah, week 11 for the AFL. And it came true. I never thought I would actually hear that. I actually praising ESPN for making this move. For those of you who don't already know, ESPN basically they flex their muscle And has changed and moved the Chicago-Dallas game, which is a fantastic matchup, moved their game, which was originally on the Friday, if I'm not mistaken, Friday, May 11th, and moved it to prime time national television on Monday, May 14th on ESPN2 and ESPN 360. Great move. This is something that I will admit that NBC never did. NBC, through the length of their contract, always seemed to be one step behind. They would have three or four games scheduled regionally, cut them based on the matchups. Obviously, in the case of ESPN, they had to bump the New York and Philly, which is something I'm sure a lot of us are actually praising, because it is not Russell Athletic ESPN Arena, Philadelphia Soul Arena football. It's arena football Monday night. But they had, for the first time, and I think this is probably a precedent, at least as far as I can remember, this is something that they have been able to, they actually were able to change, and they were able to pull the strings in order to make this happen. So, you know, what would have happened if the American Airlines Arena had not been available in Dallas? As far as I know, that's correct. Oh, I'm getting asked here by our booth. They said, are you sure that's the arena that they're in? As far as I know, it's the AAA. And of course, I'm just wasting times here. Sorry, American Airlines Center. Okay. Here. $5. There you go. Get out of the booth. What happens if the American Airlines Center had not been available? Was it because of what happened with the Dallas Mavericks being eliminated? I don't know, but this is an interesting development that if follows through, if they get the the ratings that they're hoping to get for this by making the changes, hopefully they'll be able to do it more. And I don't remember seeing anything within the contract, or at least the wording of the new contract of the ESPN that was allowing them to do such a change. But you know, it's a breath of fresh air to see them doing something like this. And I will admit, I was not a fan of going back to ESPN, but this is actually has impressed me quite a bit. And just to go back, by the way, this was handed to me concerning Aaron Garcia and his race towards 800. He is, with the touchdowns this year that he's passed, remember, it's only his first game, he is now at 764 for his career. So he is 36 away from 800, which he may get. He may get this season. He has still half a season left, as long as he plays, you know, stays healthy. He's very possible he'll join Andy Kelly and Clint Dozell as the only three quarterbacks in pro football history to pass for 800 touchdowns. Well, you know, I was listening to, you know, just earlier this week, the nominees for the NHL awards came out, and it had me thinking. you know, they're talking about who is the MVP, who deserves the MVP, and we know the Arena Football League does not really work in this way. You know, Offensive Player of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, Iron Man of the Year. Sure, we are midway through. There have been, you know, as we mentioned before, there are some surprises, and there are some disappointments to what certain teams have done this year. And it got me thinking, who would we consider the MVP for this year? And it can come from any particular you know, any particular position for that in that case, because it has to be open to everybody. Obviously, right away, when you think of MVP, team-wise, you have Chris Greason for the Georgia Force, who has just had an absolute outstanding year, has already thrown, you know, 73 touchdowns for the Force, which is a staggering amount of touchdowns through 9 weeks. Then there's also George Germain. You know, we really wasn't sure what was going to happen with him. You know, he got hurt last year. You had to bring in, I think, Andy Kelly at one point played for the Blaze. It's, you know, he would be considered an MVP. I mean, right now he is leading the league in passing yards in the league. You also cannot forget about Clint Dozell. He too is having a great year now. You know, before we go any farther, the question that we need to think about is, who do you consider? You know, what qualifications do you have to be the MVP? Do you have to be the everyday go-to guy? Do you have to be always be the quarterback under center? You know, when you think about the NHL, should the MVP go to a goalie? You know, goalies do play upwards of 60 plus games a year, but they have their own trophy presented to them for the, you know, best goalie of the year. Same thing goes for, you know, with the most goals, highest points, etc. I'm not naming off the trophies. I was going to say Vezina Trophy for MVP, but I think that's the one for MVP. Yeah, I'm trying to think of the one for top goalie, but is there a certain position that should not get it? Obviously, it's a team role to be considered an MVP. You can still be one on defense. I think combining the ability to play both ways, even though it is, seems to be so frowned upon or so disliked by the league with the changes that were made. But with the changes, there have been some positives. Dan Alexander is one case in point. He has been able to rush for 27 touchdowns because of the changes. Very well deserving of being an MVP. What do you think? Who do you think should be right now for, we'll say right now, who would you consider MVP of the league? Would it be Dan White? Would it be Chris Greason? Would it be Sia Burley, who right now is leading the league in receptions, yards? Is it somebody like Damien Hurrell, who this week is still continuing to try to extend his not only his streak for consecutive game at touchdowns with consecutive games with one with a receiving touchdown, but is also trying to extend his streak of most consecutive games with a reception. Now, his production is down this year. His team, the Colorado Crush, is not as powerful as they have been in years past. But can it be a kicker? See, that's a tough one. Kickers, okay, very integral part, especially in arena football. Easily make or break. They could become easily become a dime a dozen when it comes to them. Ask Tim Arkham and the Tampa Bay Storm how many they've been through already this year. Coaches, no, they can't be considered. I really can't consider them to be MVPs because they do have their own, they do have their own award, Coach of the Year award. But what do you think would be the qualifications of an MVP, or the MVP that you choose for this year, at least right now? It's very interesting. I mean, is it going to be that All-American quarterback? You think MVP, you think of many, many a quarterback in any league that has played very well and has deserved it. You think of somebody like in the NBA, you think of Steve Nash, who has won the consecutive awards, MVP awards. He is somebody who is not necessarily the highest scorer on the Phoenix Suns team, but he is somebody who is there who will be able to dish it off when needed, assists and whatnot, an all-around player. Who would you consider the all-around player for the AFL? And it's tough to look at. I will admit, having the discussion here at the AFL Tonight studios, nobody was able to come to a clear consensus on who, what overall, for what parameters to use as an MVP, and who really deserves to have that particular title of MVP. I mean, sure, the league makes it easy by breaking it down as into those three different categories. Do you throw in the Al Lucas Award at the same time? I mean, something totally different, So it's somebody who basically has to encompass strength, character, all around player, not necessarily dominant. A leader. You look at some players, Bobby Scipio, changed. Ben Nelson, the sophomore, who is playing fantastic for the Sabercats. Michael Roncic, on a team that had been totally decimated up until recently, still nearing 1,000 yards for receiving overall, over 20 touchdowns. Parts of the three-headed monster in Georgia. Got Chris Jackson, Troy Bergeron. Those two of the three-headed monster are, currently in the top 10. For the league. So it's hard. And as I said, not able to come up with one, but we want to know, who do you think you would consider your MVP for the AFL as of right now? What characteristics do you think your MVP have to have? Let us know what you think. Send us over an email to AFL Tonight or to me, Tim Capper. You can do so by emailing me at tim.capper@arenafan.com. You know, it's I will admit, it is very, very interesting to know, you know, to think that it could be anybody. You know, especially when you knock down the barriers and no offense, defense, it doesn't matter. But it's something I'm sure that we could talk about and go on and on for. But let us know what you think, who you think should be our MVP, overall MVP in the Arena Football League.
You are listening to AFL Tonight, presented by ArenaFan.com, celebrating 10 years as the complete arena football resource.
I know we were mentioning before about MVP and stuff like that, and different streaks, you know, Damien Harrell. Able to get more information on the Damien Harrell streak. On Monday, he can extend his streak of consecutive games with a touchdown reception to 75 and extend his streak of consecutive games with one reception to 110. That one reception would put him sixth all time, one game behind Barry Wagner at 111. And the player who has the most consecutive games with reception? Corey Fleming. At 128 games. Wow. That is a lot. You know, these players, you know, there's an MVP for you. That's a long time MVP, but it is, you know, something to think about. So, we are, you know, the time's upon us now. Stupid Magic 8-Ball, trying to take control of us. The AFL Tonight Pick'em Supremacy Contest, humans versus the Magic 8-Ball. Magic 8-Ball for the past 2 weeks has not had a very good time at all. Week 8 had a subpar week at 4-5. Last week alone had another, even worse than that, went 3-6. So, you know, 8-Ball is not doing as well as he did at this time. I think this time last year, he was, it was totally head and shoulders above all us humans. But hey, what a year, one year can make a big difference. So, 8-Ball through week 9 has a record of 41-39, is on the verge of falling below 500. Overall, Magic 8-Ball is placed 130th overall. Is continuously dropping in the standings. And now, by the way, is last when it comes to all of us humans. I, by the way, am at 54-26 through week 9. Just by using that, the Magic 8-Ball has a lot of catching up to do. And hopefully, us humans will continue to rule. You can go ahead and keep track of the AFL Tonight Pick'em Supremacy Humans versus 8-Ball in the Arena Fan message boards. There is a specific thread that has been, I think, stickied that you can keep track and see how we're going to take it to that Magic 8-Ball. And so far, so good. We are really taking it to him. Before we get to the schedule of this week, we have, as promised, the scoring update here through. We're going to make it through week 9, but we will also go ahead and go through week 8 since we were off last week. Basically, after doing 3 straight weeks of over 1,000, 4, 5, and 6, the league sort of backed off slightly. 7, 8, and 9 are still just a tad shy of 1,000 points. Week 8, total of 996 points were scored at an average of 110.7 points per game. Week 8 in 2006, the league only scored 938 points through 9 games at a clip of 104.2. So right there, that's 6.4 point difference. Week 9, a very different too. I mean, 988 total points were scored, average of 109.8. That is the first time the average has gone below 110 since week 3, which was a 104.6 average. In 2006, there was only 883 points scored for an average of 98.1. So week 9, 2007 versus 2006, it was a big difference of 105 points, and out averaging the games by 11.7 points compared to last year. Overall, by the way, final tally is as follows. Through week 9 in 2006, 8,194 points were scored for an average of 101.2. In 2007, 8,738 points have been scored for an average of 109.2 it's an average of 8 points per game. So just over a touchdown difference is being averaged a game compared to last year. So much for the implementation of the rules so far. So far, I guess they could say that they've actually failed a little bit, but I don't know. We seem to be beating a dead horse there, don't you think? Quick reminder, too, before we get to this week's schedule, we are still continuing to plan the Arena Fan Bash New Orleans style for Arena Bowl Sunday in New Orleans. We hope to have some information coming out very shortly on what's going to be done, and we do hope that be a few surprises that all of you will be happy about. If you want to join us in any way, or if you want to volunteer, you can email us here at ArenaFan, or you can go ahead and volunteer by putting your name in the thread at the ArenaFan message boards. Well, the trade deadline did pass, and the trade deadline in the AFL is not that big when it comes to the NFL. So, there were some pretty big moves that were made, but I really don't think it's anything significant. Something that we're not going to cover here this week because, as I said, it's when it comes, I find, unless it's a huge name, it doesn't garner that much attention. It's like the CFL draft, which happened this past week too, by the way. It doesn't garner that much attention. It garners some, but not that much attention. But either way, it's something that you can go ahead and check, see who your favorite team did happen to trade if they did make one. And that'll be over at our transaction section under news on the front page. So for this week's games, very interesting matchups, to say the least. The first games are on Friday. You have the New York Dragons, the suddenly rejuvenated New York Dragons, going to Columbus to play the Destroyers. New York being revitalized with Aaron Garcia at the helm has a lot better chance at actually pulling this game off versus Columbus. Columbus is coming into the game. Is coming into the game after a very, very hard fought loss, very low scoring loss too, I may add, to the Tampa Bay Storm last week. So I'm sure Columbus is going to have something to prove. New York themselves, I think, just wants to go ahead and to continue the streak beating, shellacking the Arizona Rattlers last week. Hopefully they'll be able to do, just that. But, you will be able to watch that game on, AFLNet. Secondary, a Southern Division matchup, Orlando heading to Georgia. Georgia right now is, one of the best teams in the league, and I don't think this game, I really don't think is gonna be, close in any way, shape, or form. This, Georgia team, I really think has too many weapons, and Orlando right now is just, hoping to get a playoff spot, in the, Southern Division. So I mean, it is a should be a good Southern Division matchup, by the way, but I just do not see it being much of a contest. A second game that the last game on Friday that is being played is Dallas versus Utah. That game also is going to be on AFLNet. By the way, all games on AFLNet are subject to change. You can verify them by heading to our schedule page at arenafan.com. Dallas. Is a team that still needs to continue their momentum, coming off a very, very well-deserved win last week, versus the Nashville Cats. The two of themselves want to continue their winning ways. Utah, on the other hand, they're one of the surprising teams, so far through, midway through this season. But they just, right now, need to be able to try and stop the Desperados, from scoring. And, with the tandem of, Burley and, lost all train of thought here. Jermaine and Burley. Oh man. They do have a good shot, at playing the Desperados close, could be easily be the game, be a toss-up, but probably give the edge to the Desperados. On Saturday, you have Nashville traveling to Grand Rapids. Grand Rapids, it's not been a very memorable tense anniversary season for the Rampage, and I don't see it continuing to get much better. Jeff Smoker has all of a sudden become a very hot commodity. Smoker, hot commodity. You're not writing this anymore. Very good quarterback for the Nashville Cats. I see them totally dominating this game and Grand Rapids dropping another loss. Kansas City goes to Philadelphia. The game's gonna be on AFLNet and Sirius satellite radio. Philadelphia is coming off the hard loss to Chicago on Monday night. So they do have a little bit of a short week, but Kansas City themselves. Needs to get back into the winning track after losing a very, very close game to the Colorado Crush, 45-42 at home. Kansas City needs to get back on track because, if not, they are gonna quickly see themselves falling out of the playoff race, in the Arena Football League. So I know they themselves need to get back on pace and stay competitive in that very tough Central Division. Lastly, on Saturday, you do have San Jose traveling to Arizona. It will be on AFLNet. This has been a very, very heated rivalry. No matter how good or bad the teams do, these two teams always seem to come to play. So, saying that Arizona is underdog is true, but saying that they can't beat San Jose, you really can't say that because anything can happen. So, that game should be a very good game, and watch that one with a lot of interest. Sunday, Tampa-Austin. Tampa's trying to get their third win of the season. Austin coming off of a bye week, so they should have a little bit more rest, but will they be rusty? That's something that we're going to have to find out. But that game is available locally on Sunshine. So if you can get to see the game, the game is late on 4 o'clock on Sunday. 6 o'clock, Las Vegas Gladiators, L.A. Oh boy, L.A. win. I can almost for sure see this happening. I don't know if there's been many changes. The changes that they made in Vegas have made a difference going to the Orleans Arena. I still think everybody's overseeing Celine Dion. Hey, honey, you want to go see the Las Vegas Gladiators or Celine Dion? Both are pretty bad, but I just want to see some crazy French-Canadian singer. Monday night, our game of the week is going to be Colorado-Chicago. Colorado, we know, they seem to be just very one-dimensional this year because of the salary cap changes that they had to make, you know, with their, all their wide receivers. Chicago coming off a very emotional win versus Philadelphia last week. That game should be very interesting. Game will be on ESPN2 and on ESPN 360. But I mean, if we were to choose a secondary game this week, possibly would be Dallas Utah, or it would be the San Jose Arizona matchup. But Colorado Chicago, a lot of implications in this game, a lot of records and streaks to continue. So this one should be a very good game. So I want to say thanks to everybody for joining us this week on AFL Tonight. Want to apologize to anybody who happened to try to listen to the podcast last week or not see the podcast being available, but we had a we wanted to take a short break, 1 week respite, and but we hope to be able to continue giving you all the news up through Arena Bowl here on AFL Tonight. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, you can email us over at AFL Tonight by heading over to the Contact Us section at arenafan.com, or you can just drop us a line on the message boards, and we'll be more than happy to hear what you have to say. So for everybody here at AFL Tonight, and everybody who helped make AFL Tonight what it was this week, want to wish you a very, very good week. And we will be seeing you next week here, same podcast time, same podcast place. I'm Tim Capper. Watch the rebounds off the net.
ArenaFan.com, celebrating 10 years as the Internet's complete arena football resource.
Mission Control, 2049er, transmission concluded.